Good morning, church. It's a blessing to stand before you today and to share God's word. But today I'll be sharing more in the form of a testimony. Amen. I'm Paul Huang, and I'm one of the many Pauls here. I'm the new youth pastor at this church. I'm also known by long-term camp members as intern number one. A lot of excitement. Yeah. Recently, my wife, Tao, and I finished our full-time ministry of 6 years in Houston, Texas, and we're so happy to be here, to be back at CAN. Church of All Nations is actually Tao's home church, and it is my spiritual home church. And so we are blessed with our time here and with you all, and it feels like a homecoming. We're also blessed with our wonderful son now, Aaron, who is 2 years and 9 months old. And so we have known many of you for a long time, but there are also many of you that we are just getting to know, as the church has significantly changed in membership since we left 6+ years ago. And since this is the case, I'll be sharing our testimony as a way to introduce ourselves and connect with you all. From 2005 to 2006, I did my first year of internship at CAN, a year after it was chartered as a congregation. More important than providing professional ministry services of preaching, teaching, and pastoral care, as I had learned at seminary, I learned at CAN the importance of pastoral character development and discipleship in being a follower of Jesus and a leader of a congregation. And because I was so eager to learn more, I did a second year of pastoral internship after I graduated from Columbia Theological Seminary in 2007. It was here where I met my wonderful wife, Tao. During her time at CAN, Tao was the administrative assistant, a college ministry leader, a cell group leader, a children's ministry teacher, and at one point a youth ministry director. And she was involved in many other ministries of the congregation. Tao and I both came from backgrounds of broken families where our parents either separated or divorced. And it was through this congregation that we were welcomed as a beloved son and daughter of the church, receiving healing and experiencing amazing growth. Church of All Nations, you became our church family, and you taught us how to practice the ministry of love, compassion, and hospitality. You exemplify what it means to do a reconciling ministry where all barriers are broken down in Christ. You embraced us with grace when we shared our testimonies of brokenness. You invited us into your homes for many meals and fellowship. And you walk with us in the ups and downs in our faith journey. And with your blessing, we were married during. We gave you a report of how we were doing. God gave us opportunities to help revitalize an aging mono-ethnic Korean congregation as an associate pastor for English ministry. English ministry in a Korean immigrant congregation is a ministry of two and four second-generation children, youth, and young adults that have grown up in the States, like myself and many of you that are here, and are worshiping and doing ministry in English. Well, a couple of months into our first call in January of 2009, we started the new English ministry with a Sunday worship service, and inspired by Acts 17:28, which says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being. In Christ we are truly alive." We named ourselves Alive Ministry. We stated that this ministry's vision is to be a life-giving ministry that crosses racial, cultural, and social lines, shares one another's struggles and breakthroughs, and is God's agent of healing to one another. As a church that was located in a diverse neighborhood with white, blacks, Asians, but majority Hispanics, we had great opportunities for growth in this vision. And soon, God started to send his people. One couple that was attending the Korean ministry worship service decided to join us. Then we welcomed another couple moving in from a different city. And in that summer, we partnered up with the city of Houston to provide free food for the underprivileged children and youth in our neighborhood. So our 5 Korean youth came out every week to serve food and have fellowship with the youth that came from the neighborhood. We played a lot of games and just had fun getting to know each other. And gradually, the neighborhood youth also started to come to Friday youth gatherings and then to the Sunday worship service. And they also began to bring their friends and siblings. Within our time there, the ministry grew to be a diverse community of 40 people representing 8 different cultures: African-American, Guatemalan, Honduran, Korean, Japanese, Mexican, Vietnamese, and white. At this point, I would like to show a group photo of our live ministry. It was our last picnic together before we had to say farewell, and that was our group, most of them. In reaching out to our neighborhood, we were able to witness God's amazing work. The children and youth came to faith in God and learned about discipleship in the church. And like Ken, we shared diverse cultures, languages, and food with one another. Each culture was affirmed as a gift from God, and each culture challenged of inherent idolatries by a beloved community speaking the truth in love. And for instance, the Korean youth emphasized to the Hispanic youth about the importance of respecting the elderly and the perseverance to study hard and make good grades at school. They share their cultural spirituality of respect and perseverance. On the other hand, the Hispanic youth encourage the Korean youth to express one's thoughts and feelings more openly, for they are not afraid to speak their mind. The Hispanic youth are very social and communal in nature. Thus, they bring the spirituality of openness and community. In a multicultural body, we truly get to enjoy these gifts of various cultures instead of just one. We also helped to raise student leaders that started to lead praise during worship service and served as small group leaders, Bible study leaders, and youth group. Children's ministry substantially grew, so Tao naturally became the unofficial, non-paid children's director. VBS was a success each year with over 30 children coming from the neighborhood. Our college ministry started to grow as we graduated students from the youth group each year. We also had cell group ministry for our young families for their spiritual growth and support. During this period, we really got to practice the ministry of love and compassion that we learned here at CAN. Regardless of race, culture, and background, whether they were white or black, Korean or Hispanic, we cared for all of our students and members, many of them came from broken homes. Actually, 2/3 of the kids from our ministry came from a broken family of divorced or separated parents. A couple of the kids were also abandoned by both of their parents to be left with their grandparents as well. So we had kids that came from single-parent households, kids that were abandoned. And so naturally, Tao and I became their spiritual parents and provided direct counsel and guidance in their lives. We invited them over to our house for many meals and fellowship. And when they were in need, we helped to buy school supplies, uniforms, eyeglasses so that they could study, and groceries so that they and their families could have food to eat when some parents could not even afford to feed their children on a regular basis. We went to their school events, such as band, orchestra, and tennis, and kept them accountable in their education, made sure that they were on track to graduate and then able to enter college. So we thank God and we thank CAN for discipling us and sending us out to another part of the country to do God's kingdom work. Pastor Jin always told us, Paul, this is going to be your first call. Paul and Tao, this is going to be your first call. And you are going to fail, but fail well. In other words, he was encouraging us to give all of ourselves, our 100% of time, energy, and effort in being faithful to God and God's people, despite all the hardships we will face, and eventually failure. Meaning that at some point, we will meet the glass ceiling in the growth of our ministry at this particular congregation. And Pastor Jim was right. Although some of the Korean members in the congregation really supported our ministry from the beginning, there were influential elders in session that were always against the multicultural vision of our ministry, as they believed that it hindered them from growing a Korean church with Korean people, tradition, and history. They repeatedly said, this is a Korean church. We want you to evangelize to a second generation Korean Americans and not to the Hispanic youth and children. Some of them made outright racist comments or actions towards our Hispanic and non-Korean students. They also claimed that no Korean family would want to bring their children to a ministry full of Hispanic children. So every year, we thought that it would be our last because the elders were always ready to kick us out. But by God's grace, we stayed as long as we did. And part of the reason we were able to stay so long was that there was an other church conflicts that became more important issues to deal every year. Until last year, when we became their largest source of conflict. We believe that it was also God's grace that we got to witness three different classes of our Korean students graduate and then witness our first cohort of three Hispanic students that we had nurtured since eighth grade graduate from high school last year. And one of them, Jonathan, is here with us today. Afterwards, they started attending community college, becoming the first in their family to attend college in the U.S. So last July, due to a difference in vision, the majority of the elders pressured us to look for a new call. And as I stood steadfast in my position to continue to practice compassionate ministry for all people, they took unethical steps to remove me from leadership. They decided to cut my already below minimum salary of the presbytery by 12.5%. And by October, they had convinced the congregation to dissolve their relationship with us. This was a very stressful and painful time for us, for our family, for our ministry. And we had to let go of the ministry that we had helped build for the past 6 years, and the students that we deeply cared for and loved. But until we were removed from leadership, we did our best to protect our youth. Our motto every year was that this is going to be the best year ever, and we're going to max out the budget. We're going to do everything for you guys, do fun activities, fun retreats, VBS, mission trips, and several lock-ins. And we surely did. We maxed our budget and went over every year even. I don't think the elders were happy about that, but oh well. So we did our best to protect our youth and children from the church that was against this vision of being a church for all people. Tao and I struggled a lot in the past 6 years because we were without our friends and family. We were unsupported, underpaid, and constantly exploited by the church. For instance, although Tao supported the ministry from children to young adults, cooked dinner most Fridays for youth FNF, led children's worship and Sunday school each week, organized VBS annually, and recruited volunteers and trained teachers, and did many other things for our ministry, the session never acknowledged her at all. And I expressed this frustration to the session of how she was serving as a non-paid children's director. And the least we could do as a session is to write her a thank you card. To this, they replied, no, this is just expected of her because she is a pastor's wife. However, the worst of it all was racism. Not only was the church against our ministry because of the diversity, but they were against me because I was married to Tao, who is non-Korean. Although Tao and I tried our best to stay faithful, protect our family and the kids from the church, it was really hard for us. We had to rely on God's grace every day. And we taught our kids, our youth, our children to do the same, to rely on God's grace through all circumstances and to have grace on the church, for they did not know any better. There were so many times we just wanted to give up and leave the church, but we endured through the hardship because we loved our kids and believed in the ministry that we were doing. We believed that God brought these kids into our lives so that we can truly be church for them. For many of them, this ministry was their first experience, first love, first family even. And we wanted to give hope to our kids that the church is good, even though it is broken. And we wanted to show them that the church can be a place of healing and family to one another, especially when many of them than not even have that. So where are we now? As I briefly mentioned to you earlier, Tao and I came from broken families, received healing at Cannes, and left to do ministry in Houston. But the hardship of the past 6 years of ministry broke us again. So we are back to be made alive again through the strong and faithful community of this church. We're currently living at Elder Steve and Amanda Rangham's house for rent-free. They took us in knowing how damaged we were, and they graciously opened up their home not only to share their space with us, but also their lives with us as well. And it has been a joy to see Aaron and Oliver have playmates and grow together as friends and brothers. We are recovering through the life of this congregation, from serving our youth group with our wonderful teachers, working with our staff, and spending time with you all. We are starting to breathe in healthy air. As of now, I am planning on finding a part-time job to pay off debt while we are healing and preparing for the next journey, wherever God may lead us. It is also liberating to be part of a church that is welcoming of everyone and has a vision of reconciliation. We believe that this reconciliation ministry at Cannes is one of the foundations that allow many other learnings, conversations, and growth. Since we have been back, we have been learning a lot from this congregation and the underground seminary, which I attend every Friday, about oppressive systems of empire, Christian economics, finances, and debt, community housing and community building, prophetic witness and public policy, Native American theology, among many other things. It is truly an exciting time to be part of Cannes, as it is at the forefront of many of these conversations and study. Although on the outside, the congregation looks quite different in membership from 6 years ago, the grace-filled spirit of Cannes continues to be active here. The spirit of Cannes still feels the same. It is also refreshing to see a congregation that is always willing to take bold steps to follow Jesus in both radical and prophetic ways. We pray that God continues to bless the Church of All Nations in being the beacon of light to this sinful, broken, and dying world. We pray that God continues to use our congregation to be a source of grace, healing, and transformation for all God's people and communities. Furthermore, as much as Tao and I miss our kids in Houston every day, we are also excited to do a ministry with our youth here at Cannes. Some of you that are new to us and some of you that we have known since you were in children's ministry, when you used to call Tao, Teacher Tao. And with a fun winter retreat in Hinckley, we had a really great start this year, hadn't we? So we hope to continually grow in our relationships and accountability in youth group. We also hope to foster deep conversations of how we understand God, church, and the society we live in. Also, Tom and I are excited that our former youth from Houston, Jonathan Rivas, has moved here to be part of the Cannes family. Jonathan was one of the first Hispanic students that came to Yongnak and was one of our most faithful evangelists and leaders in the youth group. And now that he has graduated from high school, he has committed to continuing his faith journey at Cannes for the next 7 to 8 years. We're happy that he gets to see where the spirit of alive ministry came from, which is Church of All Nations. Beloved church, whatever hardship we may have been through, whatever burdens we have, we believe in a God who heals, redeems, and renews. We believe in a God who makes us alive again from the depths of our brokenness. Let me close with these words from verses 3 to 5 of our text today. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Amen. Let us pray.